You can't take away from my self-esteem. You can't. You know, initially it used to wear away at me. Absolutely. It did. Absolutely. But once I seated myself in my identity and understood who I am, and understand that, you know, in most cases, most of these women who are coming at me of other colors, I have a bachelor's in neuroscience, I have a master's in public health, I went to the like top 20 in the world schools. When it comes to intellect and ability to talk, don't even go there with me, right? I will.
Welcome to the Immigrant Experience in America, an immigrant human library, where we amplify and humanize the experiences of immigrants in the United States and around the world. Listen in as we add another story to our immigrant human library.
But I had to kind of center myself to not let the anger be the prevailing thing that I teach her these experiences through, because it that kind of anger will also eat at you and eat at that child, you know what I mean, if you pass it on. And so I was initially I went about it the wrong way, but over time and as I've gotten more mature in my faith and in my thinking, I challenged myself to have these kind of conversations. And that's what I wish more of America did. If black and whites could sit down from across each other, and even blacks and black Americans versus black immigrants could sit down and have these kind of discussion, the world would be such a better place. No malice, no malintent, with a heart of open and ears that are listening. You know what I mean? It would be, I think it would be so life-changing. You might not get to a point of 100% agreeing with each other, but it would make a change.
Yeah, I think a few people out there have really, I remember, I don't know if it was Oprah or somebody else who brought some Republicans and Democrats together during the last election season or sometime I saw it, and really tried to get their viewpoints and why they just, everybody just seemed to be at each other so much. And so, but you know, the book that I would offer, there's an author out there, you probably heard of her, Robin DiAngelo. She wrote a book called White Fragility. And
Yes,
really,
yes.
as a white woman, trying to explain why some people truly are ignorant of their poor behavior, because they've been so steeped into their thinking and their conditioning that they just do it like a heartbeat. It's like a reflex for them. But it doesn't mean
Yep.
that you, as a black person, you need to sit there and just take it in and be a victim, because over time, it actually, as an immigrant black person coming in, it will change you into just feeling victimized constantly. And so if you don't address it, that's just not a good place for you to be living and operating in, you know. But I, you know, I'm still wondering, like, there's so many of us who still want to come here and stay here, and I'm like, is it worth it? Like, you know, is it because the economy is strong and we feel like we can earn more, but the stuff that our children have to put up with, is it worth it? So I ask it of people who are here and people who are aspiring to come. Is it worth putting up with stuff like that and harming your children like that?
I think it's half a dozen of one and half a dozen of another, right? For me, I didn't think that it would be, because I didn't experience that in England, right? And for a certain extent, it was naivety that I walked into it with, right? I was really naive. Like, I really didn't understand the systematic and the historical aspect of it, right? As I've gained more knowledge, as I've learned a lot more, you know, and in addition to the White Fragility book, I followed this lady, Jane Elliott. She was an activist for a very, very long time.
I know her.
Yeah, okay, so blonde eye, blonde hair, blue eyes. I love those experiments. It's just so funny when you see people who are of lighter skin color, white and other, and with blue eyes, being treated the way that some black Americans get treated, and the reaction that they have is anger. It's righteous anger, right? And so, but to answer your question about is it worth it, it comes down to the individual, right? So for me, it wasn't quite about having a greater earning potential, although that has been a byproduct for me, right? And it wasn't necessarily about, you know, better lifestyle or anything like that, because I was already in a third world country where I didn't have to put up with this crap, right? But once you have a cross-cultural, each person has to accept moving. It's okay if you're both from Jamaica, you're both from Sierra Leone, or you're both from England, which is the case with my sister and her husband. They've moved around and they've moved places. They're both from a certain place and they're both accepting of the risk and challenges. Very different when you intermingle and then have to like make that decision. But if you are coming here and you have the opportunity to have a guide like the one that you're talking about, then you can make that assessment, true assessment. And I think the mistake that people like you and I, like for me, my sister left me and she moved eventually after I came here to be with her. She went about her merry way and did her own thing. And so that's, if she had never left, I would have had an inbred community. That would have been my community, right? Like it would have been us against the world and I wouldn't have really looked outside. But it was because I was kind of, and I'm kind of glad that that was my story, because it has caused me to grow, you know what I mean, as an individual, as a person, and to be more tolerant and to be more understanding and to be more empathetic. I don't see it as me. You can't take away from my self-esteem. You can't. You know, initially it used to wear away at me. Absolutely. It did. Absolutely. But once I seated myself in my identity and understood who I am and understand that, you know, in most cases, most of these women who are coming at me of other colors, I have a bachelor's in neuroscience. I have a master's in public health. I went to the like top 20 in the world schools. When it comes to intellect and ability to talk, don't even go there with me, right? I can wipe the floor clean with a lot of these women, right? So if you're trying to belittle me or make me feel a certain way, it's not about my insecurity, it's about yours. And that's when I've kind of taken on the stance of not my circus, not my monkey, not to me, you don't. You keep your crap. I don't have to take it on. I don't have to accept it. And the way that you do that is exactly what you do. When you send that text message afterwards and you say, even if you can't think of the words in the moment, which has happened to me many, many a time, crafting that well put together text message or picking up the phone and calling them and saying, you know what, I've had some thought. You can even say 24 hours, 48, a week later from when you have a conversation with someone, I've thought about what you said, Simone, and that didn't sit well with me. And I really want to understand, before I make a bunch of assumptions, I want to understand, what exactly did you mean?
Yeah.
You're doing three things. You are setting a boundary. You're putting the other person on notice. Don't mess with me. Right? And you're getting them to justify their crap. Once they justify that crap and they have to like think through it and they realize that it's wrong or that you're not going to be tolerant of it, it never happens again. I've seen it when I have learned to put up those boundaries and say, hey, not to me, you don't. I've seen people be on the back foot trying to justify their nonsense and really having to think through it. And they never bring that energy back to me. They never do. They just don't. They might still be, you know, have some things about them. We might still have disagreement. But that thing that is seated in the fact that you think because of my race and my color, you can treat me a certain way, that never rears its head again. Or they're very mindful of it.
Yes. Very good. Very well said, Nina. And this is why I encourage people, like, you know, they have a thing where they say call people out, or now they're saying call people in. When it comes to biases and things like that, you know, you have to choose what is the best way for you to handle it. But I just say, don't walk around being a victim, because that will cripple you. It will eat at you, will take so much away from your soul, from who God designed and created you to be.
I agree.
And you don't let people do that to you, right? Chatting for a while, and I wanted to talk about the Mocha Mom experience and opening the door for people to connect with the organization, and if they're seeking community, that's another way for people to find community for other moms who are out there trying to figure this very shape-shifting of a culture.
Yeah, so I think you cut out for a little bit, but I think you told me you're giving me an opportunity to talk about Mocha Moms and what we have coming up, I believe.
Yes. And for people who are seeking community, okay. And how useful this could be to them.
Yeah, so for me, like I as I said a little bit earlier in our conversation, Mocha Moms was like really an answered prayer for me. It really truly was. I was seeking community. I was seeking, you know, I told you before, I was of the belief that, and I still am of the belief, I will treat people like a blank slate and I will give you an opportunity. And, you know, until you show me who you are, I will still give you that chance. But it was naturally inbuilt to Mocha Mom. And Mocha Moms initially was created for moms of color or black moms who were stay-at-home mothers. But it has evolved into so much more. I am not a stay-at-home mother. and I work a full-time job. I work as part of several organizations. I'm the president of North Fulton Chapter of Mocha Moms. And it's just been such a great community. As I said earlier, they were the first people when I broke my ankle to be here and be at my house and literally show me that community feel. And it has been awesome. I tell everybody that at Mocha Moms, you know, my motto for this, for my term, is creating a safe space. I feel like as black women, we have so much that's on us. We have, oh my word, especially if you're a black woman and a wife, we're wives, we're mothers, we're sisters, we're daughters, we're women in the community who are working, women in the community who may be homeschooling our kids, women in the community who are battling these discussions, like what we're talking about right now, that we need to be a safe space for each other. You know what I mean? When we come in, you and I may not be best friends, but we have a common thread. And I am your girl and you are my girl. And if you call me and you say you need something, I am there for you. And that's what I feel Mocha Moms has been for me. I literally walked in and I'm like, I already found 5 best friends. Like literally it was like that for me. And it was like so heartwarming. Like one Mocha Mom is coming this evening to come sit with me and enjoy the evening just so I won't be alone. She's been texting me for weeks and I finally said, okay, come on through, come see my ugly leg, you know. You know, she's coming to come sit with me, and just, she was already asking me what kind of drinks can she bring, and I'm like, I can't drink because of the pills I'm on. So it's just like, just that community, that sisterhood. And that's the 3 pillars of Mocha Mom: sisterhood, support, and service. And I think that, you know, it's such a good pillar to have as the foundation. And when you're united and aligned on a foundation and on a mission, everything else comes together. You know, we bicker as sisters, but in a good way, not in a bad, mean way. And, you know, we get along and we have good times. And, you know, I have 3 sisters myself. I can never get rid of them. They're always going to be my sisters, even when I am mad at them. And that's what I find with Mocha Moms. And I love it. You know what I mean? So, and there is no bickering, by the way. So let me just clarify that. But it's just, I'm just saying that's how it is with my sisters. So that's what I have found in Mocha Mom. Everyone so far has been lovely, nice, no problems. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was we're having a Mocha Moms marriage summit, because this is the 26th of March is Black Love Day or Black Marriage Day. As I mentioned earlier, you know, black marriages is twice as likely as to fail. And so I had this vision. I wanted to do a day, and my vision originally was I'm going to send everybody home to make love, practice having babies, even if they don't have babies. And so we have things like tantric yoga and a sex therapist coming to talk. And then we have relationship expert Jared and Cara Kiddo. We have another business relationship expert, D'Antoni and Rachel Ward. They're going to be hosting, and our other experts that are also going to be a part of this this program. And I'm sorry, my brain has gone blank for a second. I should have everybody on tap in my mind. But we just have a lot of information that's packed into it. And I'm really, really excited about the event.
Awesome. Folks who are listening on the U.S. side, if you're Mocha Moms is throughout the United States, right? And I'm not sure if we're in all 50 states, but I know very prevalent throughout the country.
Yes, Mocha Moms is in all 50 states. So if you are, there's a really cool video on the Mocha Moms website of, oh my God, one of the black stars. Her name's gone out of my head as well, but she's talking about her Mocha Moms experience. And it's really, really cool. Like, she just talked about being divorced and having to go through divorce and how the Mocha Moms family showed up at her, Sherry, showed up at her door and helped her and supported her through her two divorce and helped look after her kids and all that good stuff. So it's really, really good. And I want to go back and just kind of mention everybody's name so I don't get in trouble, but it's Troy Brooks and Chantel Brooks. They're marriage enrichment coaches and author. And then with the sex therapist that we have is Dr. LaToya Cheatham. And Jared, who I mentioned earlier, he is a psychiatrist by trade. Cara is a licensed therapist as well. So it's going to be really good information. They're going to talk about all the things that hang up marriages in most cases, which is like fighting fair and finances, right? And then intimacy is something else that they're going to be talking about as well. So it's going to be jam-packed with a lot of good information.
Yes, and I can vouch for Cara and Jared. The way that they communicate this stuff, I'm like, how is it that nobody's talking about this stuff? It is so palatable, it's digestible, it's just so practical. They're a power team.
Yeah, it's applicable as well. And I totally 100% agree with you. Like, their business is authentic marriages. They are 100% behind Black marriages. And so I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with these powerhouses, all these people that are experts in their field, putting on this whole summit. It's going to be, like I said, there's going to be food, there's going to be drinks, there's going to be breakout sections and workshops. And then, you know, in the beginning, there's going to be the Black love part of it, which is the tantric yoga, which I think is going to be so exciting. Even I want to try it. And the sex therapist talking and giving tips and stuff like that. And there's also going to be an opportunity to capture one of our mochas, who also has a photography business, LaChandra. She's going to be taking pictures. So this is for the North Fulton. It's going to be in Duluth, Georgia, on the 23rd of March. And tickets are on sale right now at Eventbrite and on Zephy, which is another platform like Eventbrite, but specifically for not-for-profits. And, you know, like I said, this has been a labor of love. We've been working behind the scenes for over 2 months now, and now we're getting to go time to, you know, really start to sell and advertise the event.
Awesome. Thanks for telling our audience about Mocha Moms and sharing your journey of from Sierra Leone to London and now to Georgia. Have you lived in any other states?
No, probably a big mistake on my part, but no, I have not. I've only lived in the South. That's it. And I told you stability was a big one for me. So once we started having kids, it was just, we just planted roots. And I said, until my kids could, you know, leaving Sierra Leone at 7, unfortunately, meant that a lot of my childhood memories are gone. And so I did not want that for my children. My son has just turned 8. So now I would feel comfortable relocating because they'll remember. And my daughter's old enough to maintain her own relationships too.
Yes. Wow, that's a good tidbit. I've been having thoughts lately myself. But you're saying when you left at 7, you couldn't remember the memories prior to 7, so it's better to wait until like later on for the children, yes?
Yeah, it was very traumatic for me. You know, my mom and I talk about it now, you know, because very open. And she had to do what she had to do, and I understand that. But it's just, it does have consequences. And even my sisters all say, because they were like, you know, my sisters left Sierra Leone when they were 16 and 18, so they were grown. And then my other sister, who I left with when we left later on, she was 14. So their memories were fully formed. They remember all their friends. I have people coming up to me all the time. Like, I just went to my cousin's funeral in December. A family friend walked up to me, and this lady hugged me for like a good 5 minutes, just held me, you know, because she remembers the 7-year-old me. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know who you are. You know what I mean? Like, I have no clue who you are. Like, who are you? And she held onto my hand the whole half an hour we were talking. Now, I didn't mind. It wasn't an issue. But for me, it was just like, I don't even know who you are. I have no connection. And that's the saddest part for me. Like, I have this community that I love, but I don't have any connection to them whatsoever. Or I don't know a lot of them. Or I have vague memories of them. So I just didn't want to do that to my children. I wanted them to have sound and solid memories and to remember, and then to be able to move, you know, at a later point for them.
Yeah, that's an important information that you're sharing there, because I think in this global economy, a lot of us tend to go where the better jobs are. We let the capital or the economy kind of drive, but you know, sometimes we have to think about, like, what order is it? God, family, career, or is it career? And then we adjust everything else. So, well, lots to think about. But I'm so grateful you just shared that. It's important for me to consider my daughter and her relationships in her early years.
Thank you. No, absolutely, it was a pleasure.
Okay, great, great, great. So thank you so much, Nina, for sharing so deeply.
All right, thank you so much. Nice talking to you. Appreciate you.
Same here. We'll connect separately.
We thank our listeners around the world, and we appreciate your continued support as we build our human library. Please remember to give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, and circle of influence.